Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, I'm Greta Johnson, and this is the Nerdette Book Club. It's just like a regular book club, except you don't have to share your snacks. This month's book is Kaveh Akbar's debut novel, Martyr! Exclamation point. It is about Cyrus, who was born in Iran and moved to the Midwest when he was really young after his mom died in a real-life historical event where the United States Navy reportedly accidentally shot an Iranian passenger plane out of the sky. The book picks up when Cyrus is in his 20s. He's in Indiana, and his dad has died recently, and he is struggling in more ways than one. He finds himself thinking a lot about the idea of martyrdom and what makes life truly worth living. And when he learns of an artist in New York who's exploring similar topics, he has to meet her. That is all I'm going to say for now, but this is going to be a spoilery conversation. So if you haven't read the book and you don't want to know what happens, go listen to my interview with Kaveh in the feed. If you have read the book or you are game for spoilers either way, welcome. I am very excited to introduce you to this month's guests. We're getting the band back together. With us, we have an editor at the New York Times Book Review, MJ Franklin. MJ, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me back. Yeah, the band is back together. I'm so excited for this conversation and specifically with these panelists.
Exactly, because also here is the host of the Stax podcast, Tracy Thomas. Tracy, hello.
Boop, 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 boop. I'm so excited. The dream. And you know what makes me even more excited? I liked this book, so I get to be a good guy for once.
Yay!
On Nerdette. I am out of my villain era. I am into my lover's era, and I am a lover of both of you and a lover of Martyr. So
that's
thrilled
so sweet
to be here.
Well, Tracy, I mean, you and I have talked about, we often disagree on books that we like, but we have been finding more and more things we agree on, things that go in the middle of the Venn diagram, and I love that for us.
Me too. So,
Me too.
This book, I think, is one of those things.
Oh my gosh. I just thought it was gorgeous. So yeah, there are so many different places we can start. I would love to just start with Cyrus as a character because he's so messy and also just like, I don't know. I talked about this with Kaveh. I feel like he treats Cyrus so tenderly, which is partly what makes this book so deeply moving and readable. MJ, what did you think?
Oh my gosh, I completely agree. I loved Cyrus, and I was pretty hooked on him immediately, starting with the opening line. I have it written down. We're like, what, 2 minutes in, and I already have a quote. But the opening line is, maybe it was that Cyrus had done the wrong drugs in the right order, or the right drugs in the wrong order, but when God finally spoke back to him after 27 years of silence, what Cyrus wanted more than anything else was a do-over. Like, Cyrus's voice, the voice of this novel, and specifically Cyrus's voice, is so magnetic. It is simultaneously so cutting and so earnest. Like, I would read 1,000 novels about specifically Cyrus as he's just like doing stuff, because he's just good company.
Yeah.
I wrote down first sentence in my notes. I wrote down knock your socks off prologue, and I wrote down no clue where I'm going, but I am here with Cyrus.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is such a wild ride, right? I mean, I think about the dreams too. It's just like, what the fuck is happening? But also like, let's go, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Can I tell you one thing that I loved about Cyrus too? The other part that I was like, he is so complicated in this delicious, rich way, is early on in the book, he is meeting with his AA sponsor.
Yes.
And the sponsor is saying these hard truths. And Cyrus is like, He was speaking, but is this kind of racist? I can say this, but can he say this? I'm kind of mad at him, but he's right. But also, the way that you could see even in just that one beginning bit of dialogue, like the mental gymnastics and ping-ponging, he just felt so alive. That exchange is one example.
Yeah, I feel like this whole book just like bubbled, you know, like it's just so like frothy. It's so vibrant. There's so much life throughout.
And I think like to that point, this is a book like on paper about sad things like death and suicide and your mother being killed and your father dying. Like it's a book about all of these like quote unquote heavy topics, but it's really a joyful book. It's really a book about life, and not even in like a corny way, but it just feels so fantastical and also real. And I think that that's because Cyrus feels like all of those things, like the contradictions within Cyrus feel so relatable and so complicated that you can, that like, because Cyrus is so strong and so like such an anchor for us, we do get to go to all these other weird places with Kaveh because he's given us Cyrus as a like life raft through the rest of it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, and it's interesting too, because it's like, I mean, even just there's so many balances that I feel like Kaveh is like really beautifully navigating in this book. But the one that I found really interesting is like, to use words that both of you have just used, is like, it's not corny, but it's still earnestness.
Yes. So it's earnest.
And like, how do you do that?
I hate earnestness generally because I think it's usually done bad. Like I just generally find it to be grating and naive and just not here. And what's so interesting, because I do have, we'll get there, but like, I do have notes on this book. Like there's some things that I'm like, it's a debut, whatever. But overall, I forgave all of those things. And I think it's because how well the earnestness worked. Because I like earnestness when it's authentic and done well, but I hate it because usually it's not.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a way that like earnestness can sometimes come off as one-dimensionally good. It can become come off as like just like this blanket yearning, and that's not who Cyrus is at all. Again, we've said he's complicated, he contradicts himself, there's so much darkness here, but that earnestness is this like existential desire to just understand himself and to be. And I have another quote, which is not even from this book. There's a quote from this poet, Sam Sachs, and they write in this poem, like, there we are having to exist in the yuck of it. Like the idea that he is this person that's like, in the speaker of this poem is like enmeshed in this world that he can't control, but he has to exist. Like that's the dilemma that that Cyrus is going through, that Kaveh Akbar writes so dynamically here.
Yeah, I think it speaks to that idea of like, I think earnestness also can often come off as like ignorant, you know, and sort of like, oh no, everything's fine. It's all just wonderful. But I love the journey we go on in this book. And yes, Tracy, like we can talk about its imperfections too. But in the end, like the fact that we end up in a life-affirming place through this journey was just like, oh, fuck yes. Like he did it, you know?
And usually the things that I don't like end up taking me out of the book. Like they end up irritating me. And this, I was just like, I hate that choice. Okay, what are we doing? Like, let's go back to the museum. Can't wait.
Tracy, I completely agree with you. I also had some pretty big
major notes.
With
I have
this
major
book.
Notes. Yeah.
There's a point in the middle of the book where I'm like, oh, did this book just completely jump the shark? And like, I could tell where we were kind of going. And I have written in my notes, like, oh, please don't be this. And then it happens. And I kind of groaned. And yet again, like, my love of Cyrus kind of helped me get over that. And then the other one positive thing, I have many positive things, but one thing I definitely want to say, especially as we're kind of going through general notes, is this book is just interesting in a way that I don't think gets enough credit. Like the overall arc of the story is so compelling, but the details that make up the texture of the book are also interesting. The job that Cyrus has, where he's an actor acting out situations for doctors, is interesting.
I love it.
The history of this downed flight, which I don't think a lot of people have heard about, is interesting. The job of being like the ghost of death in the Iranian army is interesting. God. The Marina Abramovich inspired art installation is interesting. Like there were so many points where I was like, oh, I want to know more about this. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily because I was like, oh, this is not fleshed out. I wanted to know more about it because the elements are just like fascinating in and of themselves.
So true. I know you spoke with Kaveh, Greta, and I got to speak with him too. And I asked him about the brother's job, the like angel of death, because to that character, that is the thing that was most like breathtaking to me about the entire book.
Yeah.
Like just the whole idea of it. I just so moved by it. And what he told me was that his father, who served in the Iranian army, said that this was a thing, but he was unable to find like anything for sure. So it was sort of like this oral history from his own family. But he was saying like it would be kind of a hard thing to track down because who would know?
For sure.
Kind of thing. The scene where he talks about the song in the tape player, the like classical song, it's called Miseries by Allegri. Anyways, I like immediately went and looked that song up and listened to it repeatedly as I was reading the rest of the book. I feel like there's so many art moments and quotes and people that are, as you're saying, MJ, are so interesting that I kept finding myself Googling things as I was reading, being like, oh, let me look at that picture, the like Donald Trump art piece. I had to look that one up. There were so many moments like that where I was like, I have to stop reading. I have to look it up. I have to get it in my brain. I have to have an opinion about this piece of art or this person. And then I have to go back to the book because I need to be where Cyrus is, you know?
Yes. Texture. Yeah. It's so gorgeous. So MJ, you mentioned the USS Vincennes. I think we should talk about that one a little bit because I mean, that was something I knew. I had never heard of that before. Had you?
Mm-mm. I hadn't either. I also wanted to look this up after reading, but just the way he writes about it. So I approached that storyline as someone who had not heard anything about this. So I was learning everything anew. And I love that it wasn't just stats. That's the whole point of like the project of this book and what it means to Cyrus is that like his mother was a stat. He was a number. And so I loved that this book introduced this incident with such a human focus on it. And so for me, I felt like I was accumulating facts while I was also like my consciousness was being expanded. I was like deeply empathizing. To reveal my age, I am 33, almost 34. I was born in 1990. This happened right before I was born. And so for me to be able to kind of dive into history with this like extreme human approach was really delightful to me, even as it was exploring this very dark, grim, sad, tragic incident.
It's interesting because it reminds me of something that you talk about a lot, Tracy, that idea of like when you say, I learned so much from this book, you know?
I hate it.
But did you not learn a lot from this?
I did learn a lot. Well, I don't know. I learned about this event for sure. And like I did find art objects. The reason I hate when people say that is because usually it's like, people are talking about other cultures or like other experiences like sort of, it's like, I feel like it's a way people say like, I don't like this book, but I learned a lot. Like, so I don't like it because I usually feel like it's a little pejorative.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
I did not know this story, but I think what's really interesting, again, that comes up in the book and Kaveh said to both of us was that this is like a huge rallying point in Iran.
Yes.
It's on stamps. Yes. Everybody knows this story. It's like their 9/11. It's their moment to get patriotic, to rally behind, you know, this wrong that was done to them. And I think that that's a really interesting framework to think about, especially in thinking about our own 9/11 and thinking about how old Cyrus is and what he would have experienced being an immigrant in America in 2001 and like the opposite of that, having been like, you know, in many ways the victim of this plane being shot down and then coming to America and becoming sort of the bad guy just because he's brown, like the correct kind of brown, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that part of the book is really, I think that again, complicated, that dichotomy is really interesting to think about because two of probably the most formative events geopolitically in his life are like such major events in the two countries in which he's lived.
Yeah. I think also the dichotomy of like that the Vincennes is, so, you know, it's, as you say, it's on stamps there, but most of us don't even know about it. Right. It's like so deeply fucked.
Right. Because it's shameful for us. We fucked up really bad and couldn't own it. Yeah. You know, like, of course America would never teach us about something like that. Like, we can't even teach about things that we all know. Like, people, they don't want to talk about slavery because it makes white kids uncomfortable. Like, so they're definitely not going to talk about this that happened over there. You know what I mean? I think one of the things about the plane crash that I was really thinking about, though, and the idea of like martyr, is that the mother's girlfriend, friend, lover, soulmate, she's the one who ends up dying. And I was thinking about how sad it is for her family because they don't get to have the like proud sadness of being like the victims of this. Do you know what I mean?
Because they don't know that it was her.
They don't know that it was her.
That's really interesting.
Like,
yeah,
because she technically was the martyr, right? But all of that, like, poor Cyrus's mom, like that. I don't know. I was just thinking about how that's a really interesting, again, complication because Cyrus's whole life, it's like this thing happened to my mom. But there is some, I think there, I mean, I don't know, but it feels like there must be some sort of like pride in knowing that like your loved one died in an honorable way or like that they died as part of this like thing. I don't know if I'm saying it that right, but do you know what I'm like? It's like,
she's
this
lost
death. If
right?
you die in this plane that is shot down, your death matters because it is part of this narrative of your nation. And like, in some ways you served your nation by dying in this way. And so the other woman who actually died in this way, her family gets none of that like respect.
Solace. Solace.
And so it's like, she really is like completely erased even though she's gone. I don't know. I can't not think about that as part of it.
I feel like this is just a layer, though, of all of the ways that he's talking about death and acknowledgement in this book. Because I'm contrasting this with Cyrus's dad's death and then how Cyrus thinks about his own mom's death, which is like all of those deaths are not necessarily like meaningful to a white population, like in their specificity. So like when Cyrus believes that it's his mom that's died, he's like, it's not her death that mattered. It's her as a number that mattered. And so that type of like, to a lot of people, she herself didn't matter in the same way that the lover's family can't kind of bask in the pride. And then for me, the big foil is Cyrus's dad, because Cyrus's dad lived and made it to America and toiled and lived this very hard life that for a lot of people didn't matter a ton. Right. Like, it's just like we know because we can follow Cyrus and we know how Cyrus thinks about his dad and we do get some glimpses from his dad's perspective. We know how tragic that is, how hard that is. And yet, in terms of it being big picture mattering to society at large, it doesn't, in the same way that some of those other deaths and their specificity don't. But to Cyrus, it's so meaningful. And to us, because we get that perspective, it's so meaningful. So I'm rambling, but I feel like the way that the novel kind of explores these layers of like what types of death get acknowledged, what types of lives get acknowledged, who gets to take pride in that, who doesn't even notice, like it all felt like this like tight orb of ideas. This is an insane metaphor. but it all just like, it all felt like many sides of the same die, two sides of the same coin. They all felt all tied together, is what I'm trying to say.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back to discuss more of Martyr.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so Kaveh, of course, is first and foremost a poet. I'm curious the extent to which that came through for you in this.
In every, so many sentences.
Right?
So, yeah. I mean, there's like, I sent it to an author who has said a similar thing. I don't think I wrote it down, but there's this line that's like, I have 26 letters to make like as many words as possible or whatever. And I was like, okay, Kaveh, poet boy. I was like, we get it. You're a poet.
It's beautiful.
For me, that poet's flair came through on the sentence level for sure. There are just beautiful sentences in this book. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the way poets are constantly like searching for meaning, playing with language, playing with the idea of what's legible and what's known and what's implied, that I think he translated so beautifully to the overall like mission arc searching that animates Cyrus. I have another quote where he talks about like the importance of naming things and how it's effective or not effective. And he says, incredible how naming something took nothing away from its stagger. Language could be totally impotent like that. And on the flip side, language for Cyrus is also totally potent as well. And certainly for Kaveh, hearing him talk about like, those 26 letters that can mean so many things. Like, for me, the poet's perspective is in the construction and the sentences of this book, but also in the ethos and in the core of it.
Yes, 1,000%. So should we get into it? MJ, when did you think it jumped the shark?
Yes.
When you find out that the artist is his mom.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, come on, please. Yeah. Like, I felt conflicted because you spend the whole book mourning the loss of this woman. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, she's alive. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's a miracle. And yet, for me, it felt like the easy way out. You wanted some type of reckoning for Cyrus, and you wanted some type of communion between Cyrus and his mom, especially because you get the mom's perspective throughout the book. And so you want some type of meeting. And the, she's alive and you've been talking to her all along just felt, it felt easy and squishy to me. Mm-hmm. I did like the fact that like Cyrus did not find that out while she was alive. Mm-hmm. And I like that he felt conflicted about it afterward. And like the question of like, what does it mean for his mother to know that she's speaking to her son and choose not to reveal herself feels very rich to me. But that was one thing that helped make that decision palatable. But the decision in the first place felt like it totally jumped the shark. Tracy, I know you mentioned that I think you said there was a jump the shark moment. Was that also your moment or was there something else going on?
Yeah, I think for me, it felt like a really the easiest option there. I was sort of holding out hope that it was the mother's girlfriend.
Same.
I thought that would have been really interesting because I think like to have this figure in your life that you have sort of, you know, has become a martyr and she's dead and you spend your whole life thinking about her and then you find out this like insane detail about her life that she was like having an affair with a friend and that like I would have just loved to see the interaction between Cyrus and her. But I think that like in all truth and honesty, I think the thing I would have probably liked the most is that if Orfe was just like an artist, she just was who she says she was. And they just had these conversations and that, you know, I mean, I understand, but I also was like, I didn't think it needed that. But that for me, it was definitely that moment. I also saw it coming so much earlier. I just knew the mom was alive and was just sort of nagging with me. I knew it too early and I can't remember it away.
Oh, I was going to ask like what clued you in? What made you like just know that she was alive? For me, it was, so at some point Cyrus is leaving and he's talking about his parents' death and the artist drops some knowledge that Cyrus hadn't revealed. It's like, your mom died.
I think it's
on this
plane crash, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm so sorry that she was lost with all of them or something like that, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And like, even that, like, like, I like, so this book is so internal and so existential. And like, even just that mystery gives that spark, that plot spark, right? You lean in, mm-hmm. you're like, what is going on? What is this mystery? And then like, I was like, oh, the easiest option is that she knows this because she's the mom and I want some other route. Even if she somehow knew this bit of information, I didn't mind that plot spark. I didn't like the way out. That was my clue in.
I think my clue was that they were going to go see this artist in Brooklyn. I think I was just like, oh, is this going to be the mom? I don't think he gave it away. I think that's just how I read. And I'm like, oh, what's the author going to do here? Like, what are my choices right now? And when it was like, we have to go. And he's like, I don't want to go. I'm like, you have to go. I was like, okay, well, if we're going to Brooklyn, it's going to be the mom. Like, but it wasn't like a real founded guess. It was just sort of, you know, my skeptical bad attitude. Mm. Can I tell you the part of the book that I struggled with the most?
Yeah.
So what I struggled with the most was the point of views of the different people.
I could see that.
I felt like everyone sort of felt just like Cyrus, like their voices, all of the writing, like the cadences of the writing, sort of like the political opinions of the people. They all just felt too similar. I wanted a more diversity of character and voice because it kind of feels like the whole book could have just been told from Cyrus's perspective. Because like you would think like the sections with the dad, like the dad would have had stronger feelings about certain things that Cyrus, like never would have occurred to Cyrus. And it just sort of always felt like Cyrus was in those voices. And so that was a little bothersome to me. Again, it was like, just like a thing that annoyed me, but it didn't ruin the book because I liked being with the dad and I liked being with the mom and I liked being with people.
I was going to say, I do think there was an expansiveness to those points of view that really, like to MJ's point, added to the texture, but I hear you about the voice. That is a really interesting point.
Yeah. For me, Tracy, I didn't even notice that because, and now that you say, I completely agree, the voices are very similar, but I didn't notice because I feel like the scenes and the images in all of those sections are so distinct and so vivid. So like, I can so clearly see this factory that the dad is going in working with chickens. For me, when I think about Cyrus's mom as a girl, I see the lake, right? Like,
right.
So for me, even though the voices were so similar, the scenarios, the scenes, the images felt so particular and helped kind of differentiate them for me.
Right. I think that's what saved it for me, for sure. Like the scenes were so good, but I think in the back of my head, just like this nagging thing of like, these people all sound the same.
Can I say something? I felt something similar about another element of the book, and I hope this isn't controversial, but like, I felt only just fine about the dreams.
The dreams. That was going to be my next question. Then,
I think the dreams.
Is another element.
I like the dreams. I love the dreams.
Wait, can you go first? I'm curious to hear. I want to be sold on the dreams.
I think I probably could take or leave the dreams, but I think what I liked about them is I think they added a level of whimsy that was really helpful with this book, just because, as we have discussed, it can be very difficult and brutal. This is not, you know, like I think there is a version of this book that would have been really, really hard to read and truly devastating. And I think the dreams kind of helped break stuff up. I also, when I interviewed Kaveh, he talked about how like a lot of, especially the stuff with the mom, he's sort of foreshadowing in those dreams, which made me want to go back and think, like, I was kind of thinking of them as like frivolous, sort of like frosting on the cake or whatever. But I think structurally they do more than we may have thought at first glance. But I hear what you're saying, MJ. Tracy, you liked them.
I did like them. I can always take or leave anything in a book, in a novel. I'm like, I can take or leave 20 pages here.
Whatever.
So I don't want to act like this was my favorite part of the book because it was not. But I liked the whimsy part of it, but I also feel like the dreams were speaking a lot to like the addiction to me. Like it just felt like a tool. You know, he talks about how it's like how he learned to fall asleep. And it just felt, I don't know, there was something about it that felt so useful to Cyrus and like felt like such a clear explanation of like who this person really is. Like he can tell us about himself, like we can learn about him or whatever, but like these dreams felt like they were sort of like a giveaway or like a tell. And I also just loved the weirdness of the, like I loved who he picked to put together. Yes. I loved that it was like an imaginary brother that never existed. And like, and like, I loved that it was a basketball player and Lisa Simpson and like the whole thing, that all of that stuff I liked. I don't know that like the text of the dreams like didn't stick with me necessarily, but like the idea of the dreams I liked. And also I generally hate dreams in books. And so the fact that I didn't like just like straight up wasn't like, this is my hell. I think that is also like, that's like a good, it's like,
that's a high
that's
bar.
Like 10 gold stars for Kaveh just
that's
on the grounds
so
of like,
funny.
I hate it here. When they started, I was like, no fucking way I have to do dreams in this book.
That's so funny. So yeah, MJ, what was it, just like the frivolousness of them?
I think it was the frivolousness of them. And then I went to the New York launch of this book because I was like, oh, everyone seems to love it. I know I'm going to read it. Just a matter of time. And so I might as well go. And he spoke about the dreams and he kind of spoke about his interests. And that primed the pump for me to dislike the dreams, because for me, the reason why I dislike them is because they felt frivolous and they felt layered on top from Kaveh and not necessarily something from Cyrus. Like I felt like I could see the seam a little bit too clearly, and I was like, oh, this is the author playing around and just kind of exploring what he is personally interested in, and they don't feel to me integral to the construction of this book. I didn't know that there's some foreshadowing in the dreams. I should revisit them. But for me, that they did feel extraneous, even if they were delightful. They felt delightful. Yeah. And like, I was like, these are delightful. I really enjoy reading these. I could do without all of them. is how I ended up feeling.
I mean, that's the thing about this book also. I'm glad that I read it before I ever encountered Kaveh, because he is so lovable.
He's such a joy.
So smart, so thoughtful. Like, I can't imagine having heard him give an interview or like seen him in person and then reading the book and then still like, and then like not liking the book, because he is like the most convincing human to like
Technicolor.
Love. Yeah. Yes. I just, swoon.
It's so funny you say that, because I interviewed an author this morning and I'm pretty sure they did like a writing residency or something together. Mm-hmm. And she had mentioned that she listened to my interview with him, which I thought was very sweet. And I was like, oh yeah, are you guys friends? And she was like, I'm pretty sure Kaveh's friends with everyone. Mm. And it was such a lovely,
he definitely
like,
has
know.
That vibe. He's for sure everyone's best friend.
Beautiful.
But I wonder who his best friend is. Or he might be one of those people that has 1,000 best friends.
I think he might. Just that. Yeah. Like lovely and open of a human being, you know?
Ugh, what is that like? I'll never know.
So I asked him a spoilery question, which we did not play in that interview. And it was about the mom thing. Because I was curious, not that I would have wanted this, but I was curious if there was a version of the book where Cyrus like both realized who his mother was and was able to talk to her about that before she died, where he like figured it out before she died. And he said he actually did write a version where they talked openly about it. Here's what he had to say.
There is this way in which, Cyrus, I was your mother. How could you leave me? Well, I had to for art. I mean, that just feels very clean in a way. Life never is, you know?
Yeah.
Even the, you know, even them bending to meet, I think, is... I really believe in it. I really, you know, I think that some people are like, ooh, that's too much of a coincidence or whatever. But I really believe that there's a way to read this where the book as a whole is almost hagiographic, right? You know, that opening scene with the light bulb. If you believe that he really did get a sign from God, then that means that he goes on this sort of prophet's journey. I want the reading that this has all been sort of ordained in some way to be available, and which goes then into that final scene, right, where everything starts sort of crumbling around the edges, right?
Just fucking gorgeous.
Can I say something that just occurred to me that makes me like the book more?
Yes, please.
Or just maybe like Kaveh more. I don't know. It's hard for me to separate the two at this point, now that we've gushed about the dream thing. I think that something that this book is asking of the reader, especially with the mom thing, is to be a generous consumer of stories and art. And I think for me, I am extremely stingy. That is my go-to with art. I like come to art and I want to pick it apart and I want to talk about it. And I do find that there is a generosity in that as well, because I'm really spending time and considering the work like in detail. And I do that. But I think what Kaveh is asking of us through Cyrus and through everything is to read this book, and he's encouraging a generosity by asking us to kind of like believe a lot of unbelievable things, a lot of fantastical things. And I think that if you read this book and you like it and you go with it, that your reward is this feeling of feeling really full, filled up, which we've all kind of talked about in different ways. And I think that if you read this book and you don't love it, that maybe like not, this is not a value judgment, but that like maybe you didn't get something out of it because you weren't able to accept what he was doing, and that that's fine too. But that there's like this, this question of like, how are we generous with each other's stories? That hearing him say that, there's just, I don't know, something about generosity as a reader and a writer and you know, whatever. I don't know. That just popped into my head. I don't want people who didn't like the book to think that I'm saying that you're stingy, but also I'm a stingy reader. So I fully get it. And I respect you because people hate us, but we're important to the ecosystem of reading. I promise.
Well, I love what you're saying. I think generosity is a really beautiful word. I think another word that we probably haven't talked about enough, given the nature of this book, is faith, right? Because I think that's another one where, and I think Kaveh kind of speaks to that in that clip too, that idea of like, it is full circle. It does come around. There is like, you know, there are forces at play, whatever you want to call them. And I think that's really affirming and beautiful in this book too.
I, even after hearing that interview clip, I'm still struggling. And it's because, And to clarify, struggling about specifically that plot point that artist is the mom, not with the
vocal rod. I am too, still struggling.
And that's because I do think like that is asking you to take a leap. In the same way, though, that the rest of the book asks you to take a leap. It asks you to follow this kind of like sardonic, is that the right word I'm looking for here? Like narrator. It's asking you to follow this person who is hurting, and he hurts a lot of other people. He can kind of be like mean, and he can be pretty mean at times. It's asking you to jump around from all of these perspectives and in time, and it's asking you to jump through his dreams. And like, I was all on board because I was so there with the mission of like, for me, the mission of the book was like, be here with me. Stand next to me. Hear my perspective. Hear what matters to me. Follow me as I try to understand myself. And that is so believable. And for me, the challenge with the artist being his mom is not that it asks you to take a leap, but that it felt like it was unbelievable. Just what are the odds? What are the odds, period?
You're being stingy.
I'm so sorry, but this is I'm asking you to be here with me in this
I'm generous. I'm with everyone. I agree with you. I agree with Kaveh. The book is perfect, and it's also the worst book I've ever read. I am with all of
all
you.
All of those things can be true. Yeah.
Generosity.
It's equanimity. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's funny. I think I'm probably the least bothered of the three of us about the mom thing. I think I would have been annoyed if they had had that conversation
for sure
around, you know, like I think that would have felt very tidy and like, oh, we're just putting a bow on this. I think there is still enough messiness of it all that I was okay with it, but it did feel very convenient.
Yeah.
But maybe that's okay. You know, it's like the one easy thing that happened in his life, really. And even then, it wasn't. It was still terrible.
Easy for
still
him.
Devastating.
It was really bad for him. It was easy for us at home, in our beds with our cups of tea. wait, are we going to talk about Z at all?
Oh, you want to talk about Z?
I mean, I do. I think that's like such an important relationship in the book. And I feel like a lot of places that I've heard talk about the book, they never really get to Z.
Mm.
Justice for Z.
Justice for Z.
Z puts up with a lot. Like Z gets the worst versions of Cyrus in the book, right? Like I feel like everyone else who we see with Cyrus sort of gets a better version of Cyrus. And I think that that's very true for like best friends and intimate partners, right? That like you often get the parts of people that are the most difficult to love in the most difficult times. Also, you get the really good stuff, but you do get also like the really shitty stuff.
For sure.
And I just like them. I like Z and I guess like the real ending, like the ending, what did you all think? They sort of ride off into the sunset of the Brooklyn sunrise or whatever together.
I loved it. I kind of loved it too.
Same. I did too. And I didn't want to like it. I was like, why am I getting a happy ending? I hate it here. But I liked it. I mean, it's not happy. His mom's dead. He never got to know her. She was alive this whole time. Like very bleak. But there is
a certain like ecstasy that is... Like that's how I thought it ended, was like on a note of ecstasy. And I was like, oh yeah, this tracks. It worked.
And I think we all love Cyrus. So I wanted good for Cyrus and we got a good for Cyrus.
And you're right. It was not completely because, but like Z being there was a huge part of that. Yeah. For sure.
I had two reasons why I loved it. The like intellectual conceptual version is that like I loved the idea that at the start of the book Cyrus is closed off. He has this whole journey searching for meaning and searching to understand martyrs and understand this artist and understand his mom, and you know it doesn't end up the exact way that he wants it, but he still grows and evolves, and look, now he is open to human relationships with this lovely person named Z. Like I loved that arc. But then also just personally, me as a reader, whenever there are two characters like that that seem to have this chemistry, I'm just like, I just want you to kiss. And I went, that's it.
Smooches.
And it was pure wish fulfillment for me. I was like, I love a queer love story. And I was like, I want them to be together. The other thing for Z for me, I also felt like justice for Z of how Cyrus was treating him throughout the entire book, because when you are seeing Cyrus be so shitty to Z and Z putting up with it, ordinarily I'd be like, why is he dealing with this? And having all of that knowledge of who Kaveh Akbar is, I was like, oh, it's because like when he is charming, he's really charming. And it was like the lows are low, but the magic and the highs are high. So like I could see that helped me understand why like Z was staying along and putting up with so much of Cyrus's bullshit for so much, because Cyrus throws a lot at him in a way that's unfair. And I was ready to go like full Destiny's Child. Like you got to go Z.
He's a bugaboo Z. Okay.
Oh my God. Well, I do think, I imagine the addiction piece of it, the being in recovery piece of it has to be huge, right? Just in terms of taking that into account. Not that that justifies any of Cyrus's behavior, but it seems like, you know, at that stage of a recovery journey, you're such a new human and there's so much to figure out. And I mean, it's really beautiful that Z stuck with him through it.
For sure.
Okay, so before I let you go, I would love to know some recommendations of books that y'all think would be good as sort of a pairing with this one.
There's a bunch. I'm looking at like the books that I loved last year for some framework. And my challenge is that like, I'm looking at like what feels so searching and existential and earnest. Again, the texture and tone feel so different. So like one book that came to mind is Take What You Need by Idra Novi.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that felt in its way about people grappling with loss. They're in isolation, sometimes self-imposed, some not. Mm-hmm. But like that book is not at all similar to this one. The Vulnerable is by Sigrid Nunez. Like isolation, searching for meaning, searching to understand yourself. But very
also very different.
And none of these are like comps, but as I'm looking at my personal list, they're the ones that are coming to mind.
That is funny.
I'm going to say that this book would pair really well with Cheryl Strayed's Tiny Beautiful Things.
Oh cool. That's gorgeous. I love that.
Love that book.
And I love that book for similar reasons that I love this book.
Yeah.
I think that it's like, again, it's like a little funny, a little sad. There's hope, mm-hmm. but there's also like some real shit going on. I think also like Cyrus could definitely write a letter to Dear Sugar and get help if he were to need it. Like I think Cheryl Strayed would help him.
That's so sweet.
But I just think like the like earnestness and like the pull at the heartstringsness of Tiny Beautiful Things would pair really nicely. It's topically different. These are advice letters that people have written, but the feeling that it gets at, it's definitely in conversation.
That's nice. I think Ross Gay also,
sure.
like literally anything Ross Gay has written would also work really nicely. Thank you both very much for your time today. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for this month. Thank you, as always, for reading and listening along. Our April book club selection is Beautyland by Marie-Helene Bertino, which is such a stunning book. You gotta read it. And then, of course, in May, we are reading Amor Towles' short story collection called Table for Two. So get on your little library hold lists for those ones as well. Also, I don't know if you heard it, but last week we had a great little chat with Tamar Adler, the author of An Everlasting Meal, including other food books. She's going to do a thing with us based on her kitchen advice newsletter called The Kitchen Shrink. That means we would love to hear your cooking questions. We've gotten a couple of really good ones so far, but we'd love to hear from you as well. You can record yourself on your phone or just send us an email, whatever works. Chime in on the Facebook group. Find us on Instagram. Really, I don't know, send an owl, like whatever it is. We would really love to hear from you for that too. Our email address is nerdatpodcast@gmail.com. And Nerdette is produced by me and Anna Bauman at WBEZ in Chicago. We are part of the NPR network, and our executive producer is Brendan Banaszak. We will see you next month. Crazy, right?
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.